We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to the fifth chapter, page Nun Zayin, and tonight's learning was dedicated in honor of Yam Dvorah. Her husband asked that we extend his tremendous appreciation for sending him here, and he dedicates the shir in her honor. And if a person will ask you about this world, remember, the Magen Midubno was in the middle of a conversation with his soul. And he looked at his soul and he said to himself, you're a hypocrite. You know, you talk to God and you say you're master of the world and everything, and at the same time, your actions don't reflect that you really believe that. And if someone would ask you directly, he says to himself, if someone would ask you about this world, you'd say the world is worthless. Come on, who needs the material? Who needs all the physical things in the world? It's foolishness. So the Magen Midubno turns to his soul and says, how could you talk that way? Where do you invest your strength? You run after the materials of the world. You run after the physical. And you're very happy when you have a good steak, or you're very happy when you enjoy things that are physical in the world. And if you lose one deal, the Magen Midubno says to his soul, titkatzef, boy, how you get angry. And your day is shot. If your stock went down, that's it. You can't concentrate learning that day. And you're willing to endanger yourself with great dangers in order to attain money. You're willing to go on ships at sea. You're willing to cross treacherous waters. And all of this for what? For the pleasures of fleeting moments. And when you come to the day of Rosh Hashanah, the Magid Midovna says to his soul, Tomar befe male, you stand there in prayer and you say, Hine yom adin, whoa, the day of judgment is coming. Kama yavrun, how many will pass, mi chye, who will live, who will die, all this is going to be decided on in 28 days. And we declare that in our prayer. Vatata mod, how do you stand there in prayer in Shemona Esrei with confidence that you're okay? He turns to his own soul and says, you're a hypocrite. If you'd be standing in a forest and suddenly you'd see this ferocious wild animal, an animal that devours its prey, you'd see it, you'd hear it coming. How much fear and trembling would seize hold of you? You'd suddenly find your knees shackling, you'd find yourself feeling faint, suddenly you'd be scared. And what's really in danger if you hear a lion roar a few feet away? What's in danger? The body, the physical. If someone would ask you what's important in the world, you'd give this whole long speech about how the physical is passing and fleeting, and what's important is the spiritual. Yeah, really. Well, how come when you stand in the day of judgment that's all about the spiritual world, you stand there with confidence, you're not too worried, and yet if something happens that you're suddenly in danger, your physical body is all that's in danger, then you're really, really worried. And if you really believed what you said, and if your soul really felt what your mouth speaks, ki yomdinu mishpatu al gufot v'al nefashot, that the day of judgment that we're approaching, that Rosh Hashanah is about the body and the soul. And you'd really recognize that that your life is what's hanging before you. Then your heart would be swayed like the trees sway in the wind. But we all know it's not that way. We speak about it. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah is coming, we should do tshuva. And we try to arouse ourselves, but really, we're much more nervous if we're on a plane and suddenly it hits an air pocket and it goes boom. We're much more nervous when other things happen. Believe me, I was on a plane that hit an air pocket and it went like a seesaw. And it like looked like it was going to tumble over. No fun. And at the moment when you're not sure if you're going to live, that was after they told us there were technical difficulties on a two-engine plane. So after that, you hit an air pocket. Believe me, you're worried. And you look back and you say, was I this worried Rosh Hashanah time? Right? Do we really believe what we say? That's what the Magen Midubno says to his own soul. אין זאת בלתי כי לבבך ריק מכל הדברים האלה. But the truth is, he says to himself, your heart is empty of all that you say. ואשר דיברת בפיך, and what you say, הם הדברים אשר תרגלת בפיך מנוריך. You're simply regurgitating things that you've become accustomed to saying. ובחנת וידעת כסלתך, and if you actually analyze your foolishness, ותדע ותאמין, שלא הגעת עוד אל חלק מחלקי הדעת. And you have to realize, remember, his focus here is, what is that intellect? So he says, I want you to first realize that you've yet to attain true intellect. True intellect is true recognition of what this world is all about. And although we can speak about it, we don't really connect with it. So when we speak about Rosh Hashanah, we try to connect with the concepts of Rosh Hashanah. We recognize, but do we really connect? Do we really comprehend? Because if we really did comprehend, then our actions should reflect that. So he says, when we speak about that, we have to understand that we're really foolish. And we haven't yet attained the important aspects of da'at. Nivarata me'ish velo binat adam necha. He says to his own soul, he says, you're not yet a man. You don't yet have the understanding of a human being. A human being is supposed to understand his role in this world. And the Magen Midubna says to himself, he says, you know, I talk like I understand. I know the right lines to say, but I don't act like I understand. So then there's a chasm between what I say and what I really believe. Between what I say I'd like to believe and where my feelings really are. Where is my soul? Where is my true understanding? So sometimes it's a little bit depressing to recognize that gap between where we'd like to think we are and where we really are. But the truth is that part of growth is recognizing where we are. You cannot grow before you recognize where you really are. לכן תדמי בנפשך כאילו היום נבראת. So says the Magen Midubna, imagine as though today you were created. ויפלא עניין מציאותך בעיניך. And then, if today you were born, look at Adam. Could you imagine Adam the first day he was born? Looks down and he looks at his hands. That's interesting. Wow. When was the last time we appreciated that we have hands? You know, you look at an animal, they don't have hands. You look at a human being, he does have hands. You look at what we can do, look at what they can do. When was the last time we appreciated the most basic functions we have? Here in the neighborhood, we're lucky we have a lot of people who are handicapped that use the bus system. And I try to force myself, every time someone that's handicapped boards the bus, I ask myself, did I have enough kavana and the blessing that refers to what he does not have? Be it the capacity to see, be it the capacity to walk, be it the capacity to talk, be it the capacity to hear. We make blessings. We make 15 blessings every morning about the different gifts that God gives us every morning. And usually we fly through them, right? We all know how to do that, right? And if you don't, guys, if you're new to the Machon, give yourself time. In a half year, you'll know how to do it too. It's nothing to be proud of. The truth is that we should have this appreciation. And so the Magen Midubna says, one of the ways to really connect with the understandings that we can say, but we don't really feel, is to pause and stop taking life for granted. And take a step back and imagine as though today you were created. Today is the beginning. And then your mere existence would be something that would be awesome in your eyes. You'd look at it and you'd say, gee, this is pretty impressive. And you'd look around and you'd start being impressed with things. You know, I had the ill fortune of being in Chutz La'aretz over the break. And one of the things that boggled my mind was how the world changed in the last 10 years. When I lived in the United States, that was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, there were certain material things which they held a certain importance. You know, there was still a certain awe for a can of soda. You know, a can of soda was something special. You enjoyed it. No, it's not like you have to be a millionaire to have a can of soda, but when you opened the can of soda, you felt you were having something special. Today, you go to the United States, and it's like people are buying them for $2, $3. They're buying these huge cases of soda. It's like water. You look around, and you start seeing that...
You should see what water is next.
you start seeing that people are looking for what's special. So they get these plasma screens, you know, a whole wall. I walked into one place, they had this thing that you, when you go out to the park, so you have a projector, so God forbid you shouldn't have a moment when you don't have your DVD with you, so you have this big screen that you could put out and you could actually watch your videos when you're out in nature, right? So you're going out in nature so you could still watch your DVDs. I don't know, it boggles my mind. Like, people are bored, they don't know what to do with their time. And nothing special anymore. You know, it's reached a point where even the materials. So I mentioned this to a friend of mine. He said, that's because you're green. You don't understand. Today, what's special is the car you drive, the home you're in. There are other things that are special. Okay. But if we can't see what's special in every day, in the simple things that we have, the gifts that God bestows upon us, we've become so spoiled that until you buy an $80,000 car, that nothing special anymore, right? There's a problem. And we should take it a step further. Chazal wanted us to appreciate the basic gifts that God gave us. The gift of sight, the gift of hearing. You know, we make a blessing every day. When we say Borei Nefashos, we say, we thank Hashem for making the world. We say in benching, Bechein. God made the world with chen, with beauty. God could have made this world black and white. Everything could have tasted like dust. God gives us flavors. You have this flavor and that flavor. You have things that have this texture and that texture. You have colors. God made it a colorful world. God made the world b'chein, and we're supposed to appreciate that. And the Magid Midubna says one of the keys to connecting to da'at, to connecting to understanding in this world, to connecting to our intellect, is to take a step back and start appreciating what we see and what we have. Imagine, he says, as though you were created today. You just landed. You know, they have these people who are in a coma for 30, 40 years. And suddenly they wake up and they look around at the world and they're like, what day is it today? And they tell him it's Thursday. And he says, well, the last day I remember was Sunday, so 4 days passed. And they tell him, no, so 35 years passed. And then they start looking around and they see the cars and the people. And imagine for a moment that you just woke up, you just landed here. Your own existence should be something that's exciting. And the existence of everything around you. The way you would be excited over something new. I remember the first cell phones. You guys, most of you are probably too young. They used to come with this attaché case. You know, it's this big thing. A car phone, right? He says, then you could start taking note of what you're doing in life. Part of the weaknesses that we have in our intellect, in our understanding, in our capacity to connect to the true concept of the world is our habit, is our taking things for granted. So he says, so put the brakes on things, stop, take a step back and approach life anew. You know, it's one of the things which I try to tell couples. When they have hardships, I tell them, could you just take 10 steps back? Think back 10 years ago when you were a bachelor. Look at all your friends who never got married. You could tell me about the hardships of married life. I guarantee you every one of them is having it much tougher than you. Yeah, I guess you're right. Don't guess I'm right. I am right. You know that it's true. But you get used to it. So then you start asking yourself. One guy says to me, I get up for work every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I can't understand my wife why she's not there with a cup of coffee for me. Okay, he can't understand, fine, 4 o'clock in the morning, he wants her to be up to make a cup of coffee for him, what can I say? Does he think about what she's doing the rest of the day when he's out of the house? No, because that we take for granted. The Magid Midubna says, you want to have a real understanding of what's going on in your life, you want to have a real understanding and really connect to the Torah concepts, then you have to stop and break the habits and take a step back and imagine you started life today. And then you say to yourself, hey, where'd this shirt come from? Who said I deserve a shirt? God gave me a shirt? God gave me clothing? When was the last time I thought about that? I'm supposed to say thank you. Then I could start thinking about what life really means when I stop taking things for granted. As taskil et derechecha, then you could really understand the path you're taking in life, v'tatzliach, and you can succeed. But the key is to pause. There was once a couple who were on the brink of divorce. And then I was young. Still young. Then I was younger. And I called a bunch of friends and I said, there's only one way to save this couple, and I don't know how to do it legally. The only way to save this couple is if we come in like masked bandits and kidnap them and take them out into the forest and put them in a cabin and lock them up there for 3 weeks, and they'll think they'll die. And just give them food. And if we could put them in a cabin for 3 weeks, when they don't think they'll live, they'll work out all their problems. That's the only way. And I, unfortunately, it was true. You know, they ended up getting divorced. And it was a tragic divorce because there were many, many kids involved. Like, but when people are in a rut, and they, so then the fight that she has with him is way out of proportion. The fight that he has with her is also way out of proportion. But if they'd stop and think, hey, you know, I could be dead tomorrow. What am I fighting him for? Let's think for a minute. Is he really the worst person on the planet? If they'd sit in a cabin, I'm convinced the first 24 hours they'd hate one another. But after the first 24 hours, when they'd start asking themselves, are we going to live to see our kids? And then they'd start thinking, can we work together? Can we get out of this? And they'd start talking. And I think that the marriage might have been saved, but I didn't know how to do it legally. You know, and I never know, you know, to force, it's a pretty rough thing, you know, to come in as masked bandits, take a couple, handcuff them, and put them in a cabin for 3 weeks. But in theory, at least, in theory, it would cause a person to reevaluate. And he's saying it in a different way. He says, stop and think for a minute. One of the things that our generation does not do, and has a very hard time doing, is taking time alone. Not driving, without a cell phone, without anyone else, just sitting and thinking in peace and quiet. And thinking, wait a second, where have I come, where am I going, and what do I want to accomplish? If a person takes time, what Hasidim call hisbodedus, standing alone a little bit, if a person stops and evaluates life, he might come to some very interesting conclusions as to where he'd like to go and how he's going to get there. But most people spend most of their life just churning forward and going with the flow. Sometimes the best things that happen to us is when we're put in a freeze, where we can't do anything. You sit on a plane, and they tell you a fasten seatbelt sign is on, and no cell phones, and no laptops, and there's takeoff, right? So now, what do? No one to talk to. Think for a minute. Now, sometimes some people do this during Shmoneh Esrei. Maybe that's okay. but a person should take time, especially now in the month of Elul, to do it on his own. Go out into the woods. Guys, you have woods right here. A 2-minute walk from here, right across from Angel. There's a path into the Jerusalem forest. You could go out there and sit down and think for a few minutes, for an hour. Be with yourselves without a cell phone. And evaluate where you've come from, where you're going, and how you're going to get there, and what you want to accomplish, what's really important to you in life. When I do this, I like to write. I like to write myself because I like to write the conclusions. I find I think better when I write. So, think about it. See where you get. Because otherwise, if you don't write something down, very often you could leave the forest and your thoughts remain in the forest and you come back to life. I asked them to let you know. I'm sorry. Would they move this down here? And I asked that they let you know. I'm sorry. Whoever I asked. But someone didn't relay the message. This morning I called and I'm sorry. The Zohat Hashem, so far it's here, yeah. This semester, yeah. Ki im teda bilvavcha ki yesh el gadol venora. For if you know in your heart that there is a potent, awesome being, there is God, halotira mipana v'tevosh mimenu. You will fear him and be embarrassed of him. You'll be able to serve him in truth, in wholeness, with awe, with love, with subservience, the way one who stands before a king would. You'll be able to rejoice and at the same time have awe, and your heart will melt the way wax melts before fire. But in order for all this to happen, you have to stop. You have to stop and put the brakes and reevaluate and think about life. So we conclude here the 5th chapter of the Shar Hadat, and Magid Midovno took us through a storm of thoughts. He's looking at himself, he's seeing the hypocrisies between what we say and how we act, and he's saying the key is, if you really want to live up to the ideals that you say you believe in, you have to stop and reevaluate and stop taking things for granted, and then work your way through connecting to your Creator and really recognizing His role in your life.